If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Christmas Day for the Venn diagram of footy fans who love spreadsheets. It is Fix Your Day here on Code Sports. I'm Josh Barnes. I've got Ed Burke with me. We're diving into all the numbers, all the dates, all the games that matter in the 2026 fixture. Ed, how long did it take you to wrap your head around it when it dropped?
Quite a while. I do miss the card that you could put on your fridge. It was almost produced straight away. I think you could get it at the news agents. It might have come in the paper. Instead, we got this 11-page printed PDF. I didn't go double-sided, which I regret now, so I'll just be flapping this big thing around during this session. But, yeah, it's been good to get stuck into it, trying a few different things from last season, a few things that have stayed the same.
Yeah, my favourite of those ones was the old pen that you could pull it out and pull out the fixture. That was always my favourite. Never really ever used it. It was just fun to pull it in and out. As always, there are winners and there are losers in the fixture. I'm sure every way you look at it, you can say your team is a winner or a loser. Let's start there. Winners, Ed, when you looked at it, who sort of jumped out to you?
They didn't jump out at me immediately. Did have to focus in on the Melbourne clubs and some of those Thursday, Friday night fixtures. But the GWS Giants only play two of last year's finalists twice. So they've got the best run out of the top nine teams from last season. They have double ups against Essendon, West Coast and St Kilda, as well as their double up with Sydney. So that puts them in a pretty good spot, I'd say. Again, they go on that big tour. They play at all the venues. I think they've got 10 venues again. I think their record is 11 or 12 for a season. That's a lot of travel, but they do seem to embrace that. They get themselves up for games in Geelong, games in Canberra. So I think they'll enjoy that. They're in a good position. Another winner I just wanted to mention, I think, there'll be talk that the Brisbane Lions are being kept off Broadway. They've been forced to the Barossa Valley during Gather Round. That fans aren't happy that they haven't had a crack at Adelaide Oval in the 4 years of Gather Round. But it is an easier draw than they've had to deal with the last couple of years. So they've really earned this one. They get a better run in terms of their opponents. Consistent fixtures on Saturdays at the Gabba, which I think the AFL seems to have prioritised because I think that's when Lions fans prefer to go watch their footy. But in terms of opposition, in terms of 5 and 6 day breaks, they're in a much better spot than they were last season.
Yeah, they actually had quite a tough run last year, Brisbane, which is another underrated aspect of their premiership. St Kilda was a big winner for me. Let me read to you their locations of games after round 13 when they play at the SCG. After that, they go Marvel, 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 Geelong, Marvel, 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 MCG, Marvel. That's a pretty good run home for the Saints, who, if they're anywhere near the top eight at that stage, they should come home with the wettest of stales.
They're going to need some vitamin D tablets staying at Marvel that long in the back half of the season.
Yeah, 9 7-day or more breaks for the Saints as part of their fixture. They're looking pretty good. We're all going to be wanting to see them. They won't be on primetime much, apart from that Sunday night game in opening round. Then they don't get back on a Thursday or a Friday until round 11. They only host one Thursday in the fixture we've seen so far. So they're going to be a little bit off-Broadway for a team that everybody is going to be wanting to watch, but they're looking pretty good, I think, getting into the year. And another one, I think, is North Melbourne. I think their fixture is fantastic for a club sort of down the bottom there. They play West Coast, Richmond, and Essendon twice. That's all the bottom four sides twice. They only play one finalist, which is Geelong twice. They're in a great position. If they're ever going to have a good year, Ed, ever, this might be it. This might be the final time for them to finally rise up the ladder, which they need to because they've only got the one Saturday night game, so they're clearly just nowhere near prime time in that first part of the fixture.
Yeah, they're in a similar boat to West Coast, who I just want to look at because they've got it very tough. Like, they've got the same time slots as North. They're dealing with, you know, mostly in the Sundays, playing in the shadows, playing at twilight. They play three top eight teams twice. They play GWS and Collingwood as well as Fremantle.
Right,
over the season, Essendon also lines up against three top eight teams, Brisbane, GWS and Hawthorn. So compare that to North and Richmond, who are only having to deal with one finalist. That makes things challenging. I know that there are teams that we'd throw into that mix. St Kilda, we expect to be, you know, pushing around that top eight. I guess that we look at it as a top 10 now. Sydney as well should be in there, but they were a top 10 side this season. So they could be tricky double ups, but it is surprising to me that West Coast and Essendon have been dealt that hand.
Yeah, so you have already gone into the losers there. You got another loser for me?
Those were my two losers. Have you got a loser?
Hawthorn's a loser for me. They've got a lot of primetime games in the fixture. They've got 5 Thursdays and 3 Fridays, so we'll be seeing a lot of the Hawks, and with good reason. They're good to watch, but they've got 3 5-day breaks, which is more than any other team. And the teams they play after the 5-day breaks is the tricky part. So they play the Bulldogs in Gather Round, They play Collingwood at the MCG, and then they play Adelaide down in Tasmania. They're three teams that'll be wanting to make finals. So you probably need all the rest you can get playing against teams like that after a five-day break, and they don't get it, Hawthorn. So you'd probably pencil those games in as probably wins maybe when you looked at it, but once you're considering the five-day breaks, it might be turning the other way, and that's where it can really derail your season, and that's top four gone if they lose all three of those games.
And those aren't just numbers. Like we've got evidence now over the last couple of years that these five-day breaks really affect performance in the next round. We had a lot of games this season where top eight teams actually got blown off the park a fair bit. It happened to Brisbane a few times after their five-day breaks, especially if you have them, if you have short breaks back-to-back. It was often the third game where a club would get blown apart. I wish I brought that evidence with me now, but it was,
I believe you.
It was
I
a pattern you. That was happening during the season. It is a very significant part of the fixture.
Yeah, and it's part of the issues I think we had in the second half of the season with Thursday nights, where one team would just get destroyed by quarter time. It's because you have to have shorter breaks to make it to Thursday night. That's just the way, obviously, the calendar works. So that's why teams were getting blown apart, I think, in the second half of the year that we saw. Week after week, it was 50-point games on Thursdays, and we were turning off it at halftime, games after games. Overrated and underrated, there were two teams that barely got any action on national broadcast. West Coast and North Melbourne will only play one game on Channel 7 nationally each. I think they probably deserved that. But some teams get dudded. Some teams get overrated by the fixture and get a good look on prime time when they shouldn't, and some teams get underrated. What did you notice there?
I think that Carlton is under a lot of pressure to deliver in the early part of the season. I'm a little surprised that the AFL has placed this much faith in them as a side early in the season.
I don't understand it.
It might be the storyline there. It might be that this first couple of months of the season, we're probably going to find out whether Michael Voss has a chance of holding on to that post as coach. They're going to be under a lot of pressure early. They play strong opponents on Thursday night and Friday night in those first 6 weeks. So brutal for Carlton. And the Western Bulldogs are the other that are up there on the spotlight. That makes sense to me. They were one of the most entertaining teams to watch last season, I thought. And I think they're a pretty safe bet to be entertaining again. Even if they don't fix their defensive problems, they're good fun on a Thursday or Friday night. So I can see why they're there.
I just don't get Carlton. Didn't we complain about them and Essendon all in the back half of last year that we had to see them over and over again? And then four of their first six games are Thursday nights, so we don't have a choice to watch anything else. They have a Friday night, Good Friday, as part of that early slate. And then their Sunday game against Melbourne is also on Channel 7 anyway. So they've been given perfect slots for the first six rounds of the season, first seven games or so. That's just not fair to me, Ed. Why do I have to keep watching Carlton? Didn't we agree we didn't want to watch Carlton? Or did AFL just not hear us?
They're banking on them being a fascination, I think. One of those teams you want to watch because this could be anything. We don't know. Even if it's going badly, people might enjoy watching that.
And sorry, they're dud games too. I mean, Richmond, they always play in the opening round for some reason. That's not very interesting. Melbourne and North Melbourne, I don't think anybody's that interested by those games either. So I'm not sure how that's happened, but a good result, I guess, for their marketing budget. They should be able to get a lot of airtime. Fremantle has six Friday and Thursday games. Fremantle's a good team, Ed, but even the opposition coaches like Craig McRae said they need to play with more dare and be more exciting. So if they're not an exciting team, I'm surprised they've got that good of a run. I know they're a top eight side, but if we want to see entertaining sides, Fremantle ain't in it for me.
Yeah, it puts a bigger onus on Justin Longmuir to sort out this game plan and whether they can play that fluent and fast brand for longer, because there's going to be more eyeballs on them. There'll be more scrutiny over in the East than that. We saw that flare at times last season. They came out here and played St Kilda, primetime television here, got thumped at Marvel. That was really ugly. If they're playing a stilted, stodgy kind of game, the pressure is going to ramp up very fast because of these time slots that they're playing in.
Yeah, and underrated sides, we can sort of treat this a bit like NBA fans do with their league pass ratings. They always look for the team that doesn't get that much exposure, but you put them on every game and suddenly you get drawn into watching them game after game. Anybody you notice that hasn't been given a great run for our eyeballs, but you'd find yourself watching week after week?
Well, the back-to-back reigning premiers, you might have heard of them, the Brisbane Lions, are a little away from our eyeballs. I do enjoy watching. They do have him. They're a fun team to watch because they have gears. They can just take the sting out of the game for a while, chip pass it around, then all of a sudden they're off. They can go up and down. There weren't many teams that were able to play at different paces and look like they meant to do it last season. So Brisbane will be able to earn the right for Thursday and Friday nights. They might experiment with some in the back end of the season if they're having another good year. In terms of other teams that could press, do we think that Essendon or a young side like Essendon or Richmond...
What are you trying to sell to me
could
here?
Show enough in the... could they show enough...
You laughed before you even started.
In the first half of the season that the AFL goes, hang on, we need to revisit... a ban on them playing Thursday nights. Let's give them back and maybe they get you know, they fall into the same trap as last season.
Yeah, I mean, potentially. Essendon has been given 7 Foxtel games, which is half of their draw, which is probably unfathomable when you looked at the draw this time last year. Obviously, they were possibly the worst team to watch in modern history. So I'm not surprised by that result, but who knows? Maybe they could turn around and be entertaining. The team for me that's been dudded a little bit here, and it's probably fair enough given they're a smaller side, they probably don't rate well, but it is GWS with that orange tsunami that everyone loves to watch. They're only playing 2 Friday night games, 0 Thursday games. They're on Foxtel 10 times out of their 14 matches. It's a pretty low result for the Giants, which they're used to. They're used to playing in the twilights and the early games and all that sort of stuff, but they are an entertaining side to watch. So I think they're the team that you'll be looking at your KO and trying to figure out when they're playing week after week. Probably the biggest notable change in the actual fixture and how we'll watch games week by week is the extra Friday games. We'll have 4 weeks in a row where we'll have double ups on Friday nights. They've sort of experimented a little bit with this over the years, the AFL, and now they're going further in on it. What are your thoughts?
I don't have a huge problem with it. The one I do have a problem with is the showdown being one of the games that is in the double header. Just let it breathe. They did that last season as well. I find that very strange. Like that game holds up over here in Melbourne as well as it does anywhere else. Mm. I don't understand the need to have 2 Friday night games that night.
Yeah, I don't particularly get it when it is that, and the Sydney Derby is another one that's part of a double-up game. Mm. That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me when you have a good match, but for some reason the AFL just doesn't seem to rate the showdown or think it should be on that primetime spot.
Sydney GWS always a fun game to watch. Always something happens there.
Yeah, I don't mind the double-ups too much. I think Saturday night we seem to love it and get by with that amount of footy usually, so I think it's okay. It just means we're up later, Ed. I don't really love staying up till 11:30 to watch the end of a game. Is that ideal for all of us?
Yeah, maybe they. Well, actually, they've already locked in the times, haven't they? So they're not bringing Fridays significantly earlier. So yeah, that is something we're going to have to contend with.
Yeah, now there's a lot of marquee slots. So your Good Fridays, the Anzac Days, all that sort of stuff. But there are the hidden gems in the fixture that we go through and pick out the games that we're really, really excited for. What have you circled on your schedule?
Well, Hawthorn and Adelaide fans, they're trying this one again. Round 11, May 21. It's a Thursday night at Launceston. It is going to be one of the coldest nights of the AFL season. They're going to have another crack at a Hawthorn Crows game. That was a bit of an ugly one last year. It was tight, but the elements kind of got in the way a bit. So I'm surprised that they're having a second dig at that one. I'm not sure if the Crows would be too happy about it. Maybe Hawthorn are fairly happy to have strong teams down there. I think they might take the home ground advantage, but that will be an interesting one.
One of the windiest games I think we've ever seen in our lives, that one down there. That was a shocker down in Tassie at the start of this year. Interesting they get another night game. It was conspiracy theory sort of floated around at the start of this year when Tassie was given a few night games, seemingly to show how bad the conditions can be, because if you have a roof on a stadium down there, it looks a lot better. I don't know whether that was a message from AFL House or not, but they get another night game here as we're still discussing whether there'll be a roof on a stadium down in Tasmania at some point. So that's potentially something to watch there. Some big grudge matches I'm looking forward to, Ed. Round 10, we have a double. Finbar Maley gets to take on Adelaide in a return game from North Melbourne. If he gets a game, that'll be exciting. Jack Buller as well, playing against Collingwood against Sydney for the first time for Collingwood. That's exciting. But we have to wait all the way till round 24 for Patrick Retschko to play against Geelong, even though he didn't ever debut for Geelong. That's just starving the fans.
It's not a trade-conscious fixture, is it? They haven't really gone, all right, we need to line up these blockbuster trades with big clashes.
The 15 Richmond fans who figured out what Patrick Retschko looks like will have forgotten what he looks like by around 24, I assume. So that's just disappointing from Josh Bowler, the fixture whiz down at the AFL. Anything else you notice, Ed?
I think I've maximalised my noticing from this fixture. I did want to look at Melbourne in Alice Springs. I think it's just the one game. Is that right? Against GWS in round 12?
Yes, that is round 12 GWS. That's the only game up there. Yep, that is correct.
Yeah, so I think it's good that there's still football in Alice Springs. I did notice that trip to Alice last year when they played the Saints, it disrupted their momentum quite a bit. They just started to get going. They had a run of home games at the MCG. They beat Fremantle. I think they beat someone else of a decent quality. And then the wheels fell off in Alice Springs. They lost to the Saints. And then from there just weren't the same threat when they got back. So I guess you take the good with the bad when you're selling a home game. But I think it's good that on the whole that football remains at Traeger Park.
And while we're talking about sort of the outpost grounds, Richmond's game down in Hobart, at what's called Ninja Stadium now, they've drawn Brisbane. Brisbane famously drew with North Melbourne down there last year, and it was a shock result to everybody. So they might be shuddering by the thought of being sent back down there once again to have to play in Hobart. I don't know why Brisbane has drawn that short straw. They've drawn a few short straws in this podcast, so a little bit unlucky there. And Gold Coast plays St Kilda and Port Adelaide in their Darwin games. Gold Coast has not lost from their 8 matches since they started hosting there, so you can probably pencil them as losses for the Saints and the Power.
Who would Gold Coast have requested for those Darwin games? Probably Brisbane and Collingwood?
Yeah, I don't know. They got Hawthorn last year, and that was a very entertaining game. So maybe they did put in a sneaker request last year. I don't think Port or St Kilda would have been at the top of their list, but who knows? We'll find out more about that, and you'll be able to find out more about all of that has happened with the fixture, all the ins and outs, the analysis, the behind-the-scenes looks. All that will be at Code Sports right now, so make sure you log on and check it out.
I'm Andrew Rule, host of the podcast Life and Crimes. The problem for the police was there were far too many potential suspects. They obviously couldn't all be guilty. And he went to the people next door and said, "Have you seen Shauna?" And they said, "No, no." And he rushed back to the house and went to Shauna's room, and there was Shauna dead in her bed. This month on Life and Crimes, available wherever you get your podcasts.